On tonight's episode, in our news stories, EJS Jeep concept vehicles. Larry, were you concerned that there was not going to be any, that Jeep wasn't going to be at EJS this year?
No, I figured they would be there one way or another.
You would think they would have to be. I mean, yeah. It would just be Easter Safari if Jeep wasn't there.
Well, I hear they weren't at the first few, but, you know, they gotta sell these new vehicles somehow.
gotta get out there with the people. Sadly, though, everybody already has a Jeep that's at EJS. So I don't know. I guess there's something, some way, some marketing thing that goes on there. In Fabricating Frenzy with Larry, update on Larry's Jeep repairs. Larry, were you feeling awkward about Roger's wiring nest under his hood, and now you're cleaning up? Is that what you're going to be talking about?
Does that mean I felt the need to throw a spool of wire under my hood and close it?
Well, you can always use a spare wire, right?
Somewhere in there.
And then our must-have stuff for your Jeep, poo powder! You were on the Zoom meeting, weren't you?
Not that again.
poo powder. It's not just for EGS any longer. Yeah, Jamie brought that up on the last roundtable episode, and I thought, you know, we're at EJS this week, and of course, you got to have your poo powder if you're camping out.
Yeah, I remember that conversation.
There's just so much you can do as far as redirecting the conversation, Larry. Yeah, at least until you get your own podcast. All right, well, let's talk about those Jeep concept vehicles. We here at the Jeep Talk Show have been wondering, maybe it's just me, if Jeep was going to be at Easter Jeep Safari this year. As you may remember, Stellantis had pulled out of several events last year, including SEMA. This isn't the first SEMA that they've missed, though, is it, Larry? I mean, I think it's kind of confusing because generally you see a lot of Jeeps at SEMA. And
Yeah, as far as the history of SEMA, I don't know. I know the last five I've gone to, obviously, they've been to all but the last one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've pulled out of quite a few events, but I don't know if that's just a new marketing ploy or if they're just kind of testing the waters and see where the money is going to be spent the best.
Yeah, because you can well imagine that's very expensive. And I think if you're at an event and Jeep comes to the event, you're not going to be lowballing them. You're not going to be saying, oh, yeah, we can give you a discount. They figure Jeep has plenty of money.
Open up the wallet.
Yeah, open up a wallet and bend over. But take the wallet out first because it's hard to get the wallet out of your back pocket when you're bent
over.
That's
not an EV, you feel.
It takes batteries, but anyway. So the Jeep, or I should say Jeep has concept vehicles that are either I'm looking at now. When you're hearing this, I mean physically now, because this episode comes out while we're at EJS, or I will be seeing these concept vehicles this week. And it's not just going to be me. It's going to be me and several Jeep Talk Show team members and listeners that are there. We're physically there. I mean, Larry, I'm just assuming I make it there okay. I did last year. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the concept vehicles in person.
Unless you stop playing the snow.
I know. Like last time. That was fun. Oh, gee. Well, you're used to the snow. You know, it's funny because I had to get a picture in the snow. You got a picture in the snow there at the Colorado border sign. Bill stood back. He's a Texan. He stood back and just shook his head at both of us.
Yeah. Look at those two idiots. One I know has seen snow. The other, another has never seen snow hardly. But
1974. It's the last time there was any accumulation of snow where I was. And it's a big deal for me to travel so far from home because I'm a Texan. I've always lived in Texas. Me driving 20 hours to Moab is a big deal. I'm really trying to get my wife to go this year because she likes traveling too. She just doesn't like the way I drive.
Well,
what you gonna do?
May not be able to fix that. So
no.
But you always got to get a picture at the Colorado sign. Whichever one it is, it's always good to get that Colorado sign picture.
I needed to get further into the snow though, because people could see there was no snow on those back wheels. I needed to have the fake shot, you know, where the whole vehicle's in snow.
Mm-hmm.
It was still fun. I love seeing snow, and it wasn't just being in the snow. It was seeing it out in the fields and stuff. So it was like a lot of snow. It wasn't like a collection of sleet or even snow on the hood of our Jeeps out in the driveway, because we get that occasionally, very rarely, but occasionally. But that stuff that collects on the ground here is usually too warm for any snow buildup. Too close to the Gulf, I think.
They just got a big snowstorm in Colorado somewhere, I think. So you might get to see some more.
Yeah, very, very well could be. So this is interesting about Jeep talking about their concept vehicles. Jeep describes their vehicles as entirely new collection of attention-grabbing, mission-capable concept vehicles. This sounds militaristic to me, so I'm really getting excited.
Never know.
Featuring a wide range of Jeep performance parts by Mopar. Can you say Jim Morrison?
Yeah. You get a Hemi, and you get a Hemi. Nope.
Look under your seat. You get a Hemi. So you absolutely have to stay tuned to the Jeep Talk Show and our social media for firsthand JTS reporting and images about these Jeep concept vehicles. And there's no telling who we might be speaking to about the Jeep concept vehicles, or just chatting it up. I'm not going to say Jim Morrison again, but there you go.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, I would just like to just shake Jim's hand. It was fun having him on the show back in September 22. And I'm just glad we still have a true Jeeper involved at Jeep. And I'm sure Jim's not the only one, but he's the only one that I've spoken to.
Yeah, I really like to see those concept vehicles. Last year, you know, no one else can, unless you go in and actually look at the show notes, but that green scrambler that they had there, that was pretty cool looking vehicle.
I love that vehicle. And when I went to wherever that was, and I don't know if they're going to have the concept vehicles in the same place this year or not. I'm sure Tom with Four Fest Events will tell me where they are if somebody else doesn't already know. But that's the one I wanted to see, and the scrambler was not there. I think they were out doing something with it. Maybe doing video or filming or something. But the scrambler, that was really, really cool. I don't think, maybe I'm wrong on this, I don't think the top comes off, but maybe that black part that's here in our show notes, maybe that is removable. But that's the only thing I could say negative is that if the top doesn't come off, that would kind of turn me off to the whole scrambler thing.
Yeah, it's hard to say because every year they update them just a little bit just to give them a little different flair. You know, they've had that, what's the name of the all-electric one that's been there several years now? It actually has a stick shift on it.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the name. I didn't look that up before the show.
And every year they update that to something a little bit different. So it's going to be curious to see as they get closer to the full EV version, it'd be curious to see what they put under the hood or, you know, how they refit that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exciting. And this is just something I think Jeep has to do because it stokes the imagination. You probably will never ever see one of these things unless a builder like Greg Henderson or somebody makes it. But it's cool to see the what if what it could be in the future.
Yeah. Every automaker does their concept vehicles, and rarely do they fully come out just like the concept, but you can always see little flashes, little nuggets of the concept vehicles in the production lines.
Mm-hmm. Well, not only does this make it interesting for the Jeep audience, and maybe not even the Jeep audience, Ford, especially with Bronco, Bronco sees this stuff and see how it excites the public. But Jeep gets to see this, and also too, since they're going through the steps of creation, then they can go, well, you know, it wasn't that difficult to just do this. So we could actually incorporate this neat thing into our 2025 Jeep Wrangler or whatever.
Right.
So they have it's a good trial and error type thing. And whereas the entire vehicle might be a no-go because it's just so different, subtle little changes to give you those things. And I guess that's what they do with racing as well, right?
Right.
Manufacturers that do racing, they can do things and they find out the stuff that they could do to their the vehicles that make being able to afford all that racing stuff to sell to us.
Right. Yeah, and for the racing industry, they've got to come out with certain vehicles so that the racing teams can have the vehicle that they want. We only get a fraction of the stuff.
Right. So anyway, I think the Jeep concept vehicles are always fun to see. I don't know. I remember one year they had a forward cab concept vehicle, and I think that's the one that stands out in my mind the most. It was a modern day, at least modern at the time. Gosh, that must have been, God, I bet you that was around 2005 or 2007 when that one came out. But you could tell that it was based on a forward cab, but it didn't have that 50s styling on the front of it.
Okay.
It looked more like a 90s or even early 2000s styling. It was really, really cool. I don't know how practical it would be off-road, but damn it, I'd give it a try, especially if it belonged to Jeep.
Anybody who will take it out on the rocks and beat on it and see how it does.
That's right. Is there one that stands out in your mind if it's not that one you already mentioned?
Yeah, for me, it was that green Scrambler. You know, if I had the perfect world, they had that Wagoneer. It was all decked out with that Overland.
God, Lord, that was amazing.
Yep. Put that Scrambler on a trailer behind that Wagoneer, and that way you go out, you got a place to camp and live. Slide out, you know, get out and get into that Scrambler and go wheel it.
You could get lost in that Grand Wagoneer they had there last year.
Oh yeah.
That was a lot of room in that thing. I did a video with Tom of Four Fest Events where he was taking us through that. It was Bill and I, and we did a video interview, and he was showing off all the things on the Grand Wagoneer. I have to find that thing, and it would be good to at least get it out within a year of when we recorded it.
Right. Yeah, I remember when you did that.
Yeah, that was fun. Tom was very gracious showing us those things. We actually did a Gladiator with a lot of the Maximus 3 upgrades on it, and then we did the Grand Wagoneer. And I think I asked Tom where the Scrambler was. That's the one I was really interested in seeing, but not there. What was that one that was based off of the was it an SJ? Was it a Wagoneer? I think it was that yellow one that was a Wagoneer. Is that the one you were talking about?
Well, they had the one was a Comanche build, and then they had the Wagoneer.
Well, this was an old Wagoneer, but it was one of the concept vehicles. It was yellow.
Right. Yeah, I don't remember that one, to be honest with you.
Yeah. That one was really pretty, but it's kind of got that 70s style, which is okay, but it's not my forte. I mean, I like the Jeep, but the future Jeep looking things. And Scrambler certainly fit that bill.
With all the gadgets.
Yeah. I love the gadgets.
And the lights.
Well, you know me. I'm not so interested in the lights.
Oh, okay.
Hey, this Jeep Talk Show flagship episode is brought to you by you, the listener. It's not a shock anymore, right, where you guys just hear that. It's actually a shock when we have a advertiser. Without you, we have no reason to do the show. Reach out to us and get pricing and availability by going to jeeptalkshow.com/contact. And frankly, that's where you can find out all the information you need to find, with the exception of the question for Larry, boxer or briefs. Do you want to leave that a mystery, Larry, or you want to tell the folks now?
Well, you know, you gotta keep them guessing a little bit.
We'll have to ask Duke. And Duke will talk for snacks. He is not proud. Hi, I'm Tony, and welcome to the Jeep Talk Show, the premier show for Jeep enthusiasts and hardcore off-roaders.
Are you ready?
It's time for the Jeep Talk Show with hosts Tony, Josh, Wendy, and Chuck.
All right, Larry, have you ever towed a vehicle and it burst into flames?
Can't say that I have.
Or a Jeep. I mean, I think it's less likely, more likely for it to be a vehicle and not a Jeep. Jeeps want to live. They want to survive. They don't just burst into flames. They're not depressed because they're Jeeps.
Yeah. Bursting into flames, that's not good.
Uh-uh.
No matter what the vehicle.
Do you smoke after sex? I don't know. I never looked. So, towed Jeep goes up in flames. A man who is driving a car and towing a Jeep. See, there's the problem right there. On Monday afternoon, March 11th, pulled to the side of I-55 and Vestas.
Vestas. Oh, this is my neck. This is my neck of the woods.
Okay. Because when I first read that, I read Festivus, and I was immediately taken back to Seinfeld and the aluminum pole. Oh, yeah. And I was like, there's a place called Festivus? And then I actually read the word.
Thank Gunsmoke.
Yeah, Festus. There we go. He unhooked the Jeep that had caught fire and fled while authorities dealt with the fire, authorities said. So, Larry, I mean, I can't think of a situation as to why you would flee. I can see unhooking from the Jeep that's on fire and pulling up a little bit.
Yeah, move up a little bit, just break out the marshmallows, and once the extinguisher's been gone, and let's make lunch.
Yeah. But he literally fled. But I think he actually broke out a fire extinguisher first that didn't fix it. I'm thinking, you know, what are you going to do? This reminds me a lot of the Christmas, not Christmas Vacation, the Vacation movie, the original Vacation movie, where the aunt died on the trip while they were going across country. And they just wouldn't put her outside a chair. I mean, what are you going to do? I mean, do you have the time to stop and speak to the authorities and answer questions? Maybe some uncomfortable ones? Aunt Irma or something, I think was who that was. I can't believe that Chevy Chase's pretend wife actually allowed him to do that. She wasn't happy about it, but, you know, but I digress.
better than being inside.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. The Festus Fire Department got a call about the vehicle fire approximately 2:30 p.m. See, that's another thing. I figured this was a 3 a.m., 4 a.m. deal. the car was towing another vehicle southbound on I-55 just north of Highway. Is that Highway A? Is there a Highway A out there?
Yeah.
Okay. When a Missouri State Highway Patrol trooper followed it after seeing smoke from the towed vehicle.
Never a good first sign.
Well, I wonder where the smoke was coming from. You know, they don't even mention what Jeep this is. I just stuck a Wrangler that's on fire here in the show notes. But they do not mention what vehicle, what hurricane this thing was. So we could hope it was one of the Ginos, you know, a Jeep in name only.
Well, you remember that story you did a while, it was several shows ago, where the guy was towing and left it in gear.
Oh, God.
And it blew the whole bottom end of that engine out.
Yes.
I'm wondering if this isn't a similar thing. It was in gear, they were towing, and finally everything just exploded or overheated. Because why would it go up otherwise?
You know, if they were towing it with a full-size pickup, I could see that happening. But I think a Jeep left in gear would be quite a bit of a drag on a car. I mean, we're not talking about 60s or 70s cars here. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we are.
Yeah, I don't know. You would think that. Yeah, I have no idea, unless it was some kind of wiring for the brake lights or the brakes or something that just finally gave out.
Well, this happens on trailers occasionally, right? Where the brakes fail or they're dragging and then cause a lot of heating on the trailer. Or, I don't know, I guess there's other issues. What happened with Matt's? You actually helped Matt with that one year, didn't you?
Yeah, it split. And I think one of the times, I think the brakes actually engaged and actually broke the drum.
My goodness.
Right? I remember him saying it was someone honking at him because it was on fire.
Come on, go around.
Yeah.
Yeah, he built that thing, and it's really funny that the axle part, the wheel part, was actually the biggest issue with that thing. Although I guess that sees the most action when you're dragging it across the country. That was
right.
Was that him going to EJS or going to the Jeep Talk Show event? Do you remember?
Jeep Talk Show event in Texas, okay. And then him and his wife did a long overland event, and it was somewhere they were going somewhere else, and it happened again.
Different side or same side?
I think it was even the same side.
Good Lord. Yeah, that'd be a replacement. That's a shame, too, because I finally got to look at that trailer. I'd seen him build it in the Discord server, in our Discord server, and I was really anxious to have a look at it. And it's very nice. But that's a shame, because you just don't know. When you do stuff like that, you never know what's gonna be the failure point.
Right. We did a great job on that trailer, without a doubt.
So whenever I guess this was the fire department first got on the scene. It was already about 50% involved, the Jeep was. The gas tank had ruptured and was leaking gas. Okay. Time to just break out the popcorn and stand back.
Yep. Back up.
We got out and remained on the scene for about an hour. Yeah. I think a lot of, on a good day, a lot of being a firefighter and a police officer is standing around not doing anything. Just, you know, making sure that nobody rushes into the fire or something.
Sit back and watch a crime happen. You pick which crime,
yeah.
Firefighter or police officer.
I wonder if they get to get on their phones and look at social media and stuff. I'm thinking no, or they're not supposed to. Good Lord. Anyway, the gas, like I said, the gas tank had ruptured and was leaking gas. They estimated the traffic on I-55 southbound was stopped for 20 to 30 minutes. Oh, you know, that made people happy.
Oh, yeah.
At least they had something to watch, at least the people up towards the front. But then again, you always worried about being up close to the front on a fire, especially when there's a gas tank leaking. So the Jeep was destroyed by the fire, and nothing else. There was nothing else known about the vehicle. So this must have been a complete destruction, because they couldn't even tell. I mean, they'll probably have to go look at dental records to identify the Jeep. So no firefighters were injured during the incident. However, they got extremely bored waiting for the fire to go out. So Dallas Thompson, spokesperson for the Highway Patrol, said that the trooper was busy dealing with the fire while the male driver fled. So I guess the guy was there until the police showed up. And there's no telling. I mean, I guess it could be a whole host of things about why you would flee when the police show up.
I wonder if there's like a repo or he was stealing it, because why would you leave?
I don't know. That's just really strange.
Especially if it's your vehicle, it's going to come out pretty quick. Okay, who owns this? No matter what, they'll figure that out really fast.
Yeah. I wonder if I would think that the little VIN plate is something that they make sure stays intact through a fire. Well, I guess there's actually numbers all over the Jeeps, right?
Right.
Yeah. So it doesn't initially have to be the VIN number to be able to look up to see who it is. Or maybe there are more than one places for the VIN. And that's probably something that you want to keep secret for a lot of reasons for people, especially like a chop shop or something.
Yeah, usually on the frame too.
Yeah. So Thompson said that the matter remains under investigation, but the condition of the Jeep after the fire left little evidence behind. The Festus Herculaneum Fire Department's extinguished the car fire. I think they just let the damn thing burn out.
Yeah, well, at some point, you just let it do its job.
Mm-hmm. Let it have its way. I don't know. That would be really sad. I think it's always sad to lose a vehicle to fire. The only thing sadder is depending on what is inside, especially if it's a pet or not even a family member, just a human that's in there. Obviously, you want to do whatever you're going to do to make sure that's not an issue. Of course, you're not supposed to be towing a vehicle with people in it anyway.
Right.
For obvious reasons. And if they weren't obvious, they're obvious now.
Yeah, you see the smoke, get out.
It's not barbecue I smell.
Mm.
1,000 shows, giddy up. So long story short, I'm the first. It was declared last night's show, whatever. It was cooler when it was the round table. It was cooler when it was Thursday. It was cooler when Josh just called me out to be the first one to talk every time. Now I get blown up by a bunch of Texas guys going on and on and on. Giddy up. I'm proud of the show. I'm happy for this Thursday. I'm happy for 1,000. Proud of the show. I will be a Jeep Talk Show listener forever and always. Since 2016, giddy up. This is Travis.
Oh, I'm glad he said who he was.
Yeah.
Giddy up. I'm sure we have some new listeners that don't know Travis. Travis is a staple on the show, especially for the roundtable.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was a pretty good episode. You and Josh just kind of going back and cutting it up over the previous shows and everything, and even got to touch off on the Tony and Josh, or the Josh and Tony show, I guess. Mm-hmm. She's depending on.
Yeah, that was funny. Big fight about that. Oh, what did it be, Josh and Tony? No, he really didn't. I'm just saying that to give him a hard time. I had to stop the whole conversation because we were almost out of time and we hadn't mentioned anybody but Tony and Josh about the Jeep Talk Show. And the Jeep Talk Show is a lot more than just us two. And I need to get the mentions in there of everybody else because everybody else puts a lot of time and effort into supporting the show and having fun with it, of course. I mean, I think everybody that helps with the show is having fun doing it. So it's like, Josh, I'm gonna have to jump in here so we can mention a few people.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there's somebody that says, hey, what about me?
What about me?
Yeah. So, well, that's what happens when you don't plan anything. It was just, I figured that Josh and I could just sit there and reminisce about the last 999 episodes. And it's fun. And hopefully some people got a better idea of where we came from and how we got to where we are.
Yeah, Bill had brought it up in one of the last Zoom rooms. My favorite is the, the last campfire side chat?
Yes.
One we did.
I had no idea. But, you guys didn't tell me, which is good. I would have given it away.
Josh would ask a question and we would just go off on a total arbitrary tangent. And then you finally called him out. You told him, well, I think, Josh, no matter what you ask him, they're going to say something different.
Yeah, I figured it out before he did. He was confused. He was like, okay, well, let me ask you.
That was a lot of fun.
So just to fill people in that don't know, what we did, our original roundtable was actually called Campfire Side Chat. And this is back when we were doing one episode a week. So we were fitting interviews and the roundtable and all this other stuff with four hosts all into one show. And I was trying to do it around an hour, and it dawned on me that we could actually split some of this stuff up. There was enough stuff there that would be entertaining and interesting. So we took the Fireside Chat, which was really just a question. We would have a question, and Josh would go around the group of people that were in the Zoom room. And I would actually copy the names of everybody that were in the Zoom room and paste them into the show notes or someplace where Josh could read them. And then he would just go to each person and ask questions. And so this is what happened on and everybody knew it was the last Fireside Chat because we were moving it to its own episode, the roundtable episode, which comes on Wednesdays now. And so the concept is the same, but really the big change that we made was that it's not about me asking you questions and then going from one person to the next. It's a free for all. And the great and the great thing about that is that the subject often gets off into something else. And usually it's a lot more interesting than what the original question was. But the original question was the grease getting it started. And the roundtable, if you haven't listened to a roundtable, somebody said the other day, sent me a message, how do I join the roundtable? Because this sounds like a lot of fun. And it is. I mean, Larry, you're a regular on the roundtable, and there's at least 8 or 9, maybe 10, maybe more people that are there every Tuesday night when we record it. And they love just catching up with everybody that's there or frankly giving people shit, especially Roger and Travis. Those are the ones that usually catch the most grief, and they love it. Although I think Roger's starting to get his feelings hurt. What do you think?
That's okay. don't forget about the Thursday night shows. While we're recording, the Zoom room's going as well. It's just not recorded.
That's right. And it's funny because Thursday night is when we were doing the Campfireside Chat. So people got used to being here on Thursday. And you'll see the same people that are there on Tuesday coming back for another round on Thursday. And here recently, I think it's F.U. Bob is saying, he goes, hey, can you start the Zoom room up? And it's nothing official. They just want to, you know, touch base and have a chat with one another. I think it's so cool. And that's what brought me up to the Jeep Talk Show family type thing. It ain't a club, damn it. I don't care what you say, Travis. It ain't a club, but it is a community, and it's like a family. It's people that are getting to know each other, like-minded individuals, and Roger.
Yeah.
Roger's going, well, I didn't do nothing. What are you picking on me for? Because you can't do nothing about it, Roger. You have to listen just go, son of a bitch.
Just take your spool of wire and just enjoy it.
That's right. You need to order more. You guys don't get that joke. That's an inside joke. Sorry.
If you were in a Zoom room, you'd have got it.
That's right.
Welcome to Fabricating Frenzy. with Larry, also known as Jeeping Mo, whose hair is not curly.
All right, so I thought I'd give a little update. I haven't been out wheeling much lately, just a lot of travel for work, but I have had a lot of work to do on my Jeep. Last October, we had a monstrous hailstorm here that pretty much tore up everything in our neighborhood. Hood, windshield got more cracks, taillights, soft top had a hole in the side of it. And
my goodness, I don't remember that. That's a good sized chunk then.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so slowly getting it back together. It, I actually found a Rubicon hood at Rubitrux. So we have to get that rebranded with Jeeping Mo on the sides, because I always hear the stories about, you know, baby Jesus is looking if you're putting the Rubicon stickers on. So we're going to rebrand that with the Jeeping Mo stickers on the sides. Got the new windshield in it the other day, and I'm actually going to do a video on the Racing Optics protective cover for your front window. So it's a like a film that goes on it, and it's got three tear-offs. It's supposed to slow down any chips or cracks. And then while I was looking under it to see, you know, what else is needed, I had noticed that my track bar had been hitting my sector shaft brace, so I just switched that out today to the Steer Smart's adjustable track bar, so that hopefully it clears that Steer Smart's sector shaft brace.
And, you would think that it would. I mean, they're both designed by the same people, yeah.
You would think, right? And just, you know, going through and just trying to, I have been finding a ton of bolts and things just loose under my Jeep because I just haven't been under it that much lately. I'm trying not to drive it as much. I've been driving my old truck. But
tell us what that is again, people that don't follow along, they don't know. I know it's a Dodge.
Yep, that's a 1970 Dodge D100 that's full four-wheel drive.
With a brand new windshield. Well, brand new to the truck anyway.
Brand new to the truck, yeah. Me and my daughters put that in the other day because you can't find people to put in windshields on old vehicles like that.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's hard to find people to do that. And then, you know, I've been finding all this stuff, all the rust and the rot underneath my Jeep, and I've been using a new product for that. So Blaster makes, it's called Fluid Shield, and it's just like a lanolin rust type of fluid, rust preventive fluid for under your vehicle. It's pretty nice, because even if I were to clean it off and paint it, you know, it comes right back in no time flat once you're dragging it across the rocks and everything. But yeah, just been slowly trying to get that thing ready so I can get it out. I'm not exactly 100% sure when the next time I'm going to. I thought I might be able to get out for EJS, but some of my trips got redone. And by the time you guys are coming back, I'll be going back to Germany for work. But I did find out today, I think I worked out the Moore Expo that's here in Springfield, Missouri. I think I'm going to be going to that. I think that's the last week of April, which is always, that's always been a good event for us. Unfortunately, they don't allow pets in there, so I can't take Duke to that.
Well, that sucks. Yeah, and yeah. You know, you're not the only person that wants to take a pet.
Right. Well, the last two years, I didn't go because the last 2 weeks it's been the same weeks as EJS, and they moved it this year.
Mm-hmm.
Just so it wasn't competing. But yeah, just slowly going through and trying to get that thing redialed back in. I've been wanting to get it back on the CTI trailer for Metal Cloak. I think we got an 890 I scored last time on that. And yeah, trying to see how it clears and how it flexes out. It's been a lot of fun.
So I'm sorry you're not going to EJS. I certainly understand why, because of work. And work is such a pain in the ass, but you know, you kind of need it. So sorry you're not going, but I wanted to ask you, like last year when you went, you had put on brand new Falcon shocks, right?
Correct.
And what model or what do you call those things?
I think those are the 3.3s.
Okay. They have a reservoir, and they're all fully adjustable. All I know is, since all you son of a bitches got them, I got to get them now.
You can thank Bill for that, because he got
he was the one that started. Yeah,
he's the head instigator.
So I may find Dennis Wood. We interviewed him recently. I may find Dennis Wood at the Thursday, Friday, the vendor show in EJS, and just give him my big sad eyes and go, man, I really wish I could. The guys all bought these, and I'm poor. And I spent all my money on the show, and it'd be really cool if somebody could hook me up with these $1,600-$1,800 worth of shocks.
We're not going to say.
Yeah, I'm sorry if your wife's listening. So but I've heard a lot of good things about them. But you had the problem with one on your way to EJS last year. And it was some sort of manufacturing error, more than likely, where the bottom of part of the shock, the part that the bolt goes through, actually came apart on you, and it made for, you know, you could have had a Jeep fire. I just now realized
I had a pogo stick.
Yeah,
had everybody honking at me, hey, you're, and then I'm like, what's your problem? And I look back and I see it.
Everybody loves my Jeep.
Yeah, 100-foot dig in the asphalt where they just patched it. I'm like, oh, let's hurry up and get out of here.
Yeah, get out of here before the police arrive. But you have had no problems with the replacement shock or the other three.
None. And I'll tell you what, I really like those shocks, because you can adjust those things to stiff, to soft, to whatever you want. And, you know, at first I was like, well, how much are you going to be able to really tell?
Right. Exactly.
And you can really tell if you set them on the softest versus the hardest, you can really feel the difference in the vehicle. And so you just kind of just dial it, you know, somewhere in between that you like for wheeling or for just on the road.
Yeah. The SP2 3.3s, fast adjustable piggyback shocks. I think that's what you have. $1,929, almost $2,000.
But that's not what you pay if you put in the Jeep Talk Show code at Northridge.
At Northridge, yeah. God, that's so great. I hope David is out there. I mean, they had an event that we went to last year where they were Northridge and some other, I forget who all was involved in that, but it was Northridge is one of them. I don't know that that David was there or not, but I'd like to meet him and just thank him, if nothing else, being on the show, but of course, giving us that great discount code. And I don't think he's been on the show in over a year. It's just great. I've saved a lot of money. I know I know Rick has saved a bunch of money. And and I think John Lee got a nice thank you card from Northridge.
Well, I mean, you know, not trying to pimp the Patreon, but if you spend a couple hundred bucks in Jeep parts, you'll pay for the Patreon real quick.
Yeah. Well, it's nice having another voice beg besides mine. So thank you. Yeah.
And when don't you spend a couple hundred? Every time you get on one of those sites, it's a couple hundred bucks. Just comes along with it.
And you can use it for on the wife too. But honey, it was on sale. It would have been criminal for me not to save the money, because it was such a great savings.
I'm saving money.
That's what I did with the Motobilt skid system, because I think after the oversized shipping and stuff, I got it for like what the price was, but I didn't have to pay oversized shipping. I don't think I had to pay tax. I think that's right. I'm hoping that yesterday, Monday, I got that final skid installed. I've got it all painted up and ready to go. And I actually, Unlimited off-road. Zach, a guy I met at the last Jeep meets thing that I went to. You probably saw the videos on that I did. Zach was the one with the Humvee, and I was giving him a hard time about what kind of Jeep that was. And but anyway, I had a chat with him and told him, I asked him if they did any welding. I needed to get some bungs welded in. He goes, yeah, I can do that. So hopefully yesterday, because we record these things ahead of time, yesterday I set up a time with Zach, and we're looking at doing it Monday. So yesterday, at the playing of this episode, that skid should be installed and ready to go, and I should be ready to go to EJS fully skidded up with the Motobilt skid system. Oh, and that reminds me, you were talking about your bolts being loose. Do you use a paint pen on anything that you torque, or maybe anything you don't torque, just so you can visually inspect it very quickly and see if something needs to be tightened up?
No, I should, but I don't. And then there was a couple of nuts up under there were totally gone.
That would be loose.
That would be loose. No, it's one of those things that keep, every time I tighten these up, I'm like, I need to put a paint pen to these, and of course, never do.
I was looking for paint pens, and looking on Amazon, I tried doing a paint pen, automotive, torque, and I never could find anything that was definitely the one that I needed to get.
Right.
Is there, I mean, you've used paint pens before, right? I mean,
right.
Do you know, is it like a tube where you squeeze it out, or I think those are like security type things so that.
No, it's, so you use it for like layout and stuff like that as well. It's just like,
oh, yeah.
Usually it's a metal body with like a wick in it, for lack of better terms. You just shake it up, and then as you press it down, you get the paint on the wick itself.
So it literally is really just paint, and the delivery method is a way, kind of like a pen works.
Right. I mean, technically you could use like a white nail polish just as well.
That makes sense. Anyway, I ordered one it's probably just me being nervous, but the main plate, the main skid, is held on by four bolts.
Oh.
I mean, it's really nice. There's not a lot to do as far as putting that thing on there. But it still makes me nervous because, and if it falls off, and especially if it comes completely off, I'm making a U-ey. It's not staying there. I'm not going to leave it there. I'll throw that in the back of the bed of the Jeep. But
hell,
I don't,
yeah, not much.
I don't think it would be all just painting the damn thing. Good Lord, that took a lot of time and effort. But anyway, I don't think it would come off because the other skids attached to it. And so I think the other skids would hold it on, but I'm still nervous. And I want to get a paint pen on there so that I can mark it. And then whenever I'm feeling nervous, I can look. And then I can go, damn, I knew I should have brought an 18-millimeter socket. Socket.
Socket. Excuse me, sir, you dropped your skid.
Oh, that would make a hell of a noise, too. And it wouldn't just drop. It would just, part of it would hit the ground. And maybe work, act like a pole vault. Because it'd be the front
Good
part
Lord.
Of the skid.
Always.
Anyway, looking forward to going. I know the drive wasn't that bad last year, but it is a long drive. We're going to be doing a 12-hour drive the first day because going to be staying with Bill at the overnight rent house that he's got. But this time it's going to be in New Mexico, not okay. Amarillo. And frankly, I'm going to miss the smell of Amarillo. Amarillo has a distinct aroma.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like the smell of cow crap, that is definitely the place for you.
60 million cows. It's not just the smell of cows. It's like 60 million. There's a railroad track and 60 million cows.
Million with a B.
Yes. So, yeah, sure wish you were going, Larry, but you got to do what you got to do. And I'm sure you're looking forward to Germany. How far are you going to be from Munich?
Well, we fly into Frankfurt, so I'm not exactly sure how far that is from Munich. And then where I'm going, it's more southern Germany. So it's a nice little town called Hasla.
So I met Patrick with Bavarian. I think I'm saying that correctly. They have a 4.5-inch lift. They've got beadlock wheels. They got several things, and they're a German company that they are also selling in the United States.
Okay.
Did an interview with him the other day. And they're in Munich, and I was just so blown away that they sell legal on the road beadlocks, real beadlocks that are authorized by the Germanies.
The Germanies,
which I would think they wouldn't let them do anything in Germany, and 39-inch tires. I mean,
really?
Yes, I was just so surprised. And Patrick has a Hellcat, a Gladiator. He's got a 392 a JLU, he's living a hard life there in Germany. He's going to be at EJS, so I'm looking forward to meeting him in person. But it was a really fun interview. That one is coming out, I think, on the 28th, if that's a Friday, March 28th. So I think EJS week, I think that's that one's coming out. Actually, I should look at it real quick. Instead of giving bogus information. The 29th. Yeah. So it is at EJS week. Patrick Bavarian, and he's going to slap me for saying it wrong. But it was a really good interview, and it was really fun finding out that they can do these things. I mean, I think of Australia, where you have to have an engineer go over your specific vehicle if you're going to do anything to it. If you're going to put a lift on it or bigger tires or any of that stuff, you have to pay an engineer to say it's okay. Whereas Bavarian, all they had to do, when I say all they had to do, it was a lot of work, I'm sure. They had to go through the governmental agency, TUV, I think is what he said it was, to get the beadlocks blessed and get the 39-inch tires blessed and their 4.5-inch lift blessed. But once it's blessed, the end user doesn't have to go through it. They can just put it on. Oh, and that was the other thing I asked. Do you have to have somebody put it on for you? Nope. It can be user installed. So,
well, those vehicles definitely would stand out there, because most of the cars there are tiny.
Yes, exactly.
But why do I keep envisioning, you know, a Jeep going down the Autobahn at almost 200 miles an hour?
Oh, I bet you can't, especially that one with the Hellcat in it.
Oh, yeah.
I'll have to ask him that. So,
like a freight train going down the highway.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you can go fast, but I can go through you.
Right.
All right. Well, fun. That's a lot of fun. And it was really interesting having somebody on from out of this country. And there was several times that I wanted to say, damn it, man, you guys almost have it like America over there. But I didn't want to be offensive.
Well, three times the gas prices.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Very, very good point. Well, I guess you got to sell a lot of lift kits to keep it filled up.
From the mind of Nikki G.
Hey, this is Nikki G, and I'd like to congratulate you, Tony, on 1,000 episodes. Many people know I started listening to the show way back when it was the XJ Talk Show, when we had cool people on there like Denver D and Super Croc and Wayne.
Super Croc.
And I wonder what happened to them guys, although I'm sure we'll hear from Wayne in about 3 to 5. And in honor of 1,000 episodes, I promise I'm going to tell 1,000 funny jokes. Well, that's not why I'm calling.
It's a lie.
I'm calling to ask.
He doesn't
know
1,000 funny
jokes. Do Tesla drivers listen to AC/DC while they drive? Or do they listen to something more current? Yeah, I didn't say they were going to be funny starting now. All right, boys and girls, I'll chat you later. You have a good one. Bye.
The nerd in me has to point out that both AC and DC have current.
Don't be so direct.
That's right. It has its ups and downs. All right. Well, there we go. So anyway, we have in our next interview episode, we're going to be talking to Paul of Radio Chatter, a game you can play on the radio. So think of the CB back in the late 70s. There was a lot of games being played on the radio.
Oh, yeah.
Including, I forget what it was. Is it 1036? How about a 1036 out there, which is, what time is it? How about a radio check? And the always popular, and I've told this one before, the always popular, how's my audio sound? It's a little loud. Can you turn it down? And they turn it down. They get lighter. Nope. Turn it down some more. Oh, no. Sorry, dude. Little bit more. And then, you know, they're getting lighter and lighter. And then pretty soon you can't hear them. And then you go, perfect.
It's perfect.
We got to get Roger an adjustable microphone, volume for his microphone. So Radio Chatter game, they actually sent me a copy of these things, or a set. And they're a deck of cards. And they have questions on them. So if you're... You know, I look at this as like if you just got your brand new GMRS radio, you're traveling, you're training, you know, because you got one or more Jeeps going along with you to EJS or any event, and you've got that brand new GMRS radio, you don't know how to talk, but you want to use your new toy, this is a perfect situation. You pull the card out and you read the question on the card, and then it's the round table. I mean, it's like our round table, because that's what we do. We ask a question and then get everybody to talk about it. So this gets everybody to use their radio. They can talk on the radio. They can have fun. That makes the trip shorter. And especially if you're traveling alone, but in a group with other people than Jeeps or any off-road vehicles, you can get to know the person better, and you might even find that there's going to be people jumping in that are traveling along with you, and you find out more about them simply because you're chatting. And of course, you're going to get some people on there telling you to shut the hell up. I'm tired of listening to your stupid ass. So anyway, it's a cool thing.
By, though.
Yeah.
Makes that long drives go by. That's big.
Yeah. Well, even if you're pissing somebody off, it can still be fun if you're a troll like I am. All right. We're going to talk about some announcements. The Jeep Talk Show is at EJS. So at the time of the airing of this episode, several members of the Jeep Talk Show team, since Larry's not going, I'll say the important ones they're going, are there. Just to make you feel bad. And I'm just going to miss Duke. Can we swing by and pick up Duke?
Yeah.
Duke shouldn't be punished simply because you got a job. So anyway, we'll be easy to find as long as we have internet access. Of course, I'll be posting up on Instagram. I think we're going to be doing a lot of stuff on SMS text messaging because that seems to work better at Moab than internet access. So we'd love for you to join us. Chances are you will find us every morning at the Moab Diner, unless somebody overrides me. I like the Moab Diner, especially for breakfast.
Right.
And by the way, it is a great place to watch famous Jeep people. Who did you see, Larry? Did you see anybody famous? I saw, Matt. Matt's the off-road recovery.
Yeah, Bleepin' Jeep. You seen?
I did not see Bleepin' Jeep.
Yeah, but everybody from YouTube, you'll see in and out of there at some point in time, and yeah, it's always a good time.
It's a place to go, and you need to get there early if you want to get a parking spot, it really fills up. I want to look and see if the trash can in their parking lot still is sporting the Jeep Talk Show sticker, or if somebody has stickered over it.
We'll take another one.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I'll have some stickers. So we're going to be doing a special roundtable on a recording on Tuesday, the release date of this episode. That's when we record those, is on Tuesday. Now, I'm going to be in Moab. I am not going to be able to host that roundtable, but team member John Lee will be running the Zoom meeting, and it's going to be special because he's going to be doing it in a different way. I mean, I think basically it's going to be the same thing, but it's all going to be recorded through Zoom. Whereas I do it a little fancier with a computer and things, but really the most important thing is the people that are in the Zoom meeting talking and having a good time, and we're going to try to do that. And this is going to be good because I'd like to get out to more places, but it's kind of hard for me to go to places whenever I'm doing a show 4 times a week.
Right.
So look forward to that, and it may or may not work. We're going to try it and see. So there may or may not be a roundtable episode tomorrow, but I think there will be. And coming up on April 21st, the next Jeep Talk Show Jeep Meets at Katie Crossing's Ice House will be happening from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. in Katy, Texas. No, I'm not giving a time zone because it's central, because it's Katy, Texas. So come out and meet us. It's Sunday. It's a great place to be. Now, it was a little light March 10th, I think it was. We normally have about anywhere from 35 to 55 Jeeps out there. It was a little light. Oh, yeah, yeah. It was a little light this past time, and I don't think it's because we were there. I think it was because of the rodeos going on right now, or was going on at the time of the event. And spring break, I think, had just started. So, but it was still a good turnout, and we got lots of good video talking to people while we were out there. I had so much fun. It was just so much fun talking to everybody that I'm getting to know out there. Now, Greg from Underground Graphics, Todd from offroading101.com was there, and I don't know exactly when, but Clint from Texas 4-Wheel Drive is one of the groups that comes out with us, and of course, the Jeep Talk Show is out there. We got to hang up our big banner, and yes, I did remember to take it with me, and people were taking pictures of the banner and scanning the QR code that was on the front, which I thought was really neat. Beautiful banner. Cheap, too. I think it's a 3x9 is what I put up.
Okay.
All right, so June 8th is our next Jeep Talk Show off-road event, Texas, and it's going to be also Friday the 7th, and either Bill and John or Bill and John will be taking all that are there on that Friday before the event around the area. Luckenbach, Texas, you know, popularized by the song back in the 80s, I believe it was, is close by. And there's talk about going to Luckenbach. I know F.U. Bob was surprised to find that was so close. So they're Bill and John are actually planning on, at least Bill, are planning on having a little like on-road trip to the various area around there. So if yeah. if you're out of way out of Texas and you just don't see that driving long ways for a one-day event really fits the reason to come down very well. Now you got a two-day event potential. Yeah. Oh, and there was talk, and Larry, you may know more about this than I do because I haven't been reading it. I think they're looking at barbecue places to have a barbecue, hole in the wall barbecue. And you know, if John's involved in it, it's going to have to be good barbecue.
Well, you know, I'm looking forward to this event, looking forward to those rides, but make sure if you're not from Texas, ask for the sauce.
Oh, God. You're just trying to get up in trouble. It's all right as long as you're not eating John's barbecue. And then if you ask for the sauce, that's a bad thing. That's like steak and ketchup, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I like sauce. I don't care. I'll eat it the way I want it, damn it. So anyway, June 8th, that's what we're looking to do. And it looks like this is we had talked about going to Barnwell, which is a little closer to Dallas. But we just didn't have time to get everything lined up. But we'll be looking at that for future events. And actually, Clint from Texas 4-Wheel Drive has a big connection out there with actually all the state-run off-road places. And he's wanting to get us to go to Barnwell. And we were working with him, just running out of time this year to get it done. We need to let you guys know about it because you need to be able to plan your schedule to come out and join us. And we hope to see you. And we had even, I think, on the first event, because I think this is the fourth one we're having, even at the very first one we had people come in from out of state, which I was just amazed. I'm still amazed that people will drive that far to come out and be with us. But we have a lot of fun. Last year, we had three groups. So if you don't like trail runs with 40 plus Jeeps, we had everything broke into threes. And actually, Todd with offroading101.com, that they do off-road training, he actually led up one of the groups for the people that wanted to do a little more hardcore, because we try to do trails that anybody can do, because we don't want you to have a special Jeep to come out and be part of this event. And I think we've only had one rollover, and that was a guy, and that was like the first or the second one. That was the first one, and it wasn't even a roll; it was a layover, and nothing was broken. Guy was great, and he drove that thing from Houston, 3-hour drive, drove it from Houston, a YJ, to Hidden Falls, and that's where it's going to be, by the way. And then flopped it, and then drove it back to Houston.
Yeah, and you know, the nice thing about that is between all three groups, you can always change groups if you want to do a certain trail, or if you want to do a trail twice, or you know, Bill, John, and
Todd.
You know, then Todd, they did a good job getting through all those. So you could pick. You weren't forced to stay with the one group. Mm-hmm. You could move around a little bit. We just tried to balance it out a little bit so we had, you know, similar numbers in all the groups.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and GMRS radio is king. That's how we communicate. The chances are that if you don't have a GMRS radio, somebody will have a handheld they can throw at you. And the neat thing was, you just reminded me, Larry, the neat thing was is that what we did was we went out in the morning and ran a trail, whichever group you were with, and then we came back and had lunch and then went back out on the trail again. So that meant that if you were with Bill and you wanted to go with John because they were going to do different trails, you could do that. Or if you wanted to be a little more adventurous and go with Todd, you could do that too. I can't remember if Todd ran the afternoon one or not, his run. I know the morning run, yes.
Yeah, he did it, FMTRO, I think it was.
That's a fun trail. I like the Death Star run at night. That's FMTRO, right? I mean, that's not the whole thing, but I like that trench. That's really cool. Rocks on both sides. A lot of fun.
Right.
That's where we did the Tyree Lights video. That was a no-brainer. I'm going to do rock lights and bright Tyree Lights. I want a trench to go down. I should have added some R2-D2 sounds.
That's a fun trail going through there. I mean, no matter, they're all good trails. The other part of that is if you're wanting to go to that, there's cabins and they call them satellite hotels.
Yes.
And there's camping, if you
bunkhouses, satellite hotels.
If you want to camp in Texas in June, you know, you do you.
Oh my God, we had an 8-person bunkhouse. Josh and I did, and Don was out there in a tent. Don, you wanna come in here? It's an AC. It's a small building. You know, just hold on to your nuts so they don't fall off because it's gonna be cold in here. And it was June and it was nice and cold in that bunkhouse. Nope, he stayed in the damn tent. And my God, I can't even sleep when it's that hot. Anyway, that was fun.
We had that bad storm last year.
Yeah, that was interesting.
And so I took Duke back to the bunkhouse. And of course he was in a cage, right? But when he wasn't in a cage, he was in the bunk with me because he didn't like the storms.
Well, you put the cage in the bunk.
So in a bunk, right? Exactly.
And just stuck a finger through the thing to calm him down. It's all right. I'm petting you with one finger. Anyway, it's gonna be fun. It's been fun every year, and it's so much fun seeing the people that come out every year, and also to the new people that come out. Hidden Falls is a beautiful park. It's the one I really like here in Texas. I've been to Barnwell and Hidden Falls and that's it. So I probably need to expand that a little bit. And they keep talking about the Hot Springs. Did you go to Hot Springs with them, Larry?
I was there one of the years. Yes.
Okay. So, they keep talking about how wonderful Hot Springs is. And every time they go, they complain about how muddy it was. So
yeah, last time we went, it was rained out pretty well.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, we'd love your emails and voicemails. Voicemails are used on the show. You heard one from Travis tonight. Keep liking and commenting on our social media posts. Oh, and are you watching our YouTube videos? What? You're on YouTube? Well, actually, you guys probably knew we were on YouTube, but it was just a static image. Not anymore. We're recording audio and video every episode, and it's being edited and put up on YouTube. So if you I never thought about this. There's several Jeep Talk Show team members that have TVs in their garage, and they might want to listen to the show while they're working on their Jeeps. So instead of coming up with some fancy way to play something from their phone through their TV, they just go to YouTube, play the episode they want to listen to, and if they want to look and see what's going on while the show is going on, they can just look up and look at the TV. I never thought about that. It makes perfect sense. Yeah. So we have several people doing that, and this might be you going, oh, that's a great idea. Just because it has video doesn't mean you have to watch all of it. You may just want to watch some of it.
Absolutely.
So go over to YouTube, and of course the thing to do is you just go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact, and you will find out all the places where we are and how you can interact with the show. Do you see what it says intersect with the show? That's just weird. All right. So must have stuff for your Jeep. The, what is that? Gordia? Gora? You've been to Europe. You know how to say these things, Larry.
Yeah, I'm no help on this one.
Eco-friendly poo gel. That's what I would call it. Poo gel powder. Mm. Oh my God, with a spoon.
There's too much wrong there.
Fast absorbing camping toilet chemicals, rapidly biodegradable eco gel for portable toilet. And this is, you know, this thing some next to the spoon, it says do not ingest, do not eat, just like the silica packets. For outdoor portable bedpans and emergencies. Oh, I like the emergencies. It is $13.99. I bought some of this last year because I was going to be camping out at EJS the whole year, but Chip saved me and had an extra bed. That's what we tell everybody. A hotel room. And I stayed in the hotel, which was good because, camping in the back of the Gladiator was just fine, but that mattress was horrible. It's an air mattress, and I'm a big guy. I'm not 6'3", Josh, but I'm a big guy. And it was just like sleeping on the bed of the Gladiator. But if I had a better mattress, I think it would have been just fine. The thing I hate is being hot, and I certainly wasn't hot up there.
No,
No, it was fine. The 32 blankets I brought with me were perfect. So anyway, I got this stuff, and the people kept giving me a hard time because I put the poo powder inside the 5-gallon bucket, and then put the biodegradable bag to collect the expendables. And that I had already read. You put it in the bucket in case there's a hole or a tear in the bag. And now you've got something that is collecting and maybe desensitizing, making it smell a little better. So, but they still give me a hard time about it. That's fine. There's so few things that I do that are potentially wrong that they have to latch on to anything that they can find.
I had to pick this one up.
That's fine. I don't care. Poo gel now comes in strawberry. All right. So thanks for listening to this episode of the Jeep Talk Show. If you've enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and review on your favorite podcast platform. Did you know that Google Play is going away, Larry? I think somebody told me that all the podcast stuff is going to YouTube.
Okay. Makes sense.
Yeah. So I think it's the end of March that Google Play, the podcast app for Google, is going away. So I actually had to switch over. Podcast Addict, I think, is what I chose to go with. And also, too, when you guys are looking for a podcast player, if you'd already have one, you can look for ones that, and I think they all do this, where you can download the episodes. So if you're out, like if you're going to Moab and you want to listen to a podcast, and maybe you're out of range so you can't stream it or download it while you're on the mountain, you can select the podcast app to download like the most current 3, 10, 600 episodes. And then when you're someplace where you have Wi-Fi or good internet access, maybe on the way to EJS, you can get these episodes and store them on your phone, and then they're available to you while you're in an area without internet access.
Yeah,
which could be the hotel.
That's what I do. That's what I do with mine. I use Apple Podcasts, so it downloads them instantly, and then I delete them off as I listen to them.
Yep. So finally, if you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. Go to jeeptalkshow.com/contact and you'll find multiple ways to contact us. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you on the next Jeep Talk Show episode.
Broadcasting since 2010.